definitely bleeding.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast app you found us. And I mean, hey, maybe you're listening to this on an early release. Where's that?
That is on patreon.com/upnext. Hello, patrons. You're our Justice League, and therefore you get to get this a bit earlier. You're Earth's mightiest heroes.
Yeah,
is that the Avengers or is that Justice League?
I think that was the Avengers, dude.
Fuck! I've upset the nerds already.
We're the friends of justice.
Yes.
Yeah. See, we'll be your justice friends. We're here to talk about justice. Yes, Braden and Davey, we are your NXT friends too. We are that, but we're also your Dynamites. But we do cover other stuff, of course, on our Patreon. We have so many different wrestling podcasts and the movie reviews and stuff. But here, for the past, what seems like quite a long time now, we've been doing here on the free feed some movie reviews. We did the entire Star Wars saga, including some of the side stuff and even the Christmas special. Then, then we started doing Batman movie reviews. So then we've been going through all the different Batmen and some Batwomen. And it's kind of coinciding with the new release of The Batman Vengeance. So is it just called The Batman?
I think it's just The Batman. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe people online are calling it Vengeance, and that's why I keep thinking that. But yeah, so that movie's like coming out this week. So we'd figure we round it off with our final review before that.
Yeah, this is actually our 12th Batman review.
Holy shit.
If you count the 66 Adam West one, which I think we should maybe next month put up for free,
sure,
so we can complete the thing. It's
yeah.
It's been in the archive, in the vault for a long time now. It's time to release the mother box of Batman 66.
Or just watch it again and review it again.
Shall we?
I love it. It's great.
It's a fun amazing film.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Best bat gadget, isn't it? For sure, with the bat repellent.
The shark repellent. Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, we've kind of gone through all these different bat movies, and we will be doing a podcast on The Batman. But like we said, it's going to be out in theaters this month. So I'm not going to a theater with my laptop, my MacBook open, taking notes.
Nope.
So we're gonna let it breathe a little bit. And I don't know, whenever it comes to a streaming service in the next few months or whatever, I'm sure it will be. And then we'll take a dive into it and definitely be putting that show out for free. So don't think we're neglecting.
I guess as well.
I'm stoked.
Technically,
for it.
Oh yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. But I guess we'll have to dive back into Batman as well at the end of the year, because we've got The Flash coming out as well with two Batmen in that film.
Wow. So, okay. Yeah, you're absolutely correct, because the rule we had for these Batman movie reviews is just that it had to be in theaters. So yes, that's why we've done all the different Batman movies. We've even done Mask of the Phantasm, because it did run for a limited theatrical release. So yeah, we're going to cover, I guess we have to, we skip Suicide Squad because Batman's in it for like maybe 3 seconds.
Adding a new rule, Batman has to have at least 15 minutes screen time.
So is he going to be in are we doing The Flash then? Like, because I don't know.
I think Michael Keaton putting the suit back on.
I do have interest.
I think we've got to.
I am super excited for The Batman. I do think the vampire dude from Twilight, I think he's going to do a good job just from watching the trailer. I'm like, all right, man, it looks solid. And
he's a great actor. And like, I think a lot of people think of him as just Cedric Diggory and Edward Cullen, but he's a lot more than that. And yeah, I think he could be really good.
Diggory? The fuck is
Cedric
that?
Diggory, Harry Potter.
Oh wow. So he had two franchises.
Yeah.
And now he's Batman. Damn, this dude's living
up. Didn't last too long in one of them, but
spoilers, yeah. Bro. Well, yeah, so I'm super
I'm saying, because he's dead, he's a vampire, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Don't spoil.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Well, because maybe one day we'll do Harry Potter movies, because we don't know what's coming next after Batman. So we'll take your suggestions. But so yeah, we are excited. It's all bat fever and everything. And because we've been doing these reviews, we've probably kind of done them, once a month, it kind of seems. So literally for the past year, it's like I was hyping us up for to go watch the new Batman. So like by the time we watch this new Batman, it's going to be lit. I'm going to be like, this is the best Batman. Regardless, it could stink up the joint, which it does not look like it's going to do.
We know everything about
yeah,
Batman.
Yeah, now I feel like, point. Yeah, we've even just did Lego Batman. And that one had the most inside baseball, inside Batman terms yet. So yeah, we've definitely covered like literally pretty much all the aspects of Batman. Again, just in movie releases and stuff. But yeah, it has been fun to kind of go back and revisit. So if you're new to us, go check out some of those old reviews on the free feed there, because we have talked about every Batman. We've talked about Bale and
Keaton, Kilmer. Yeah,
all of them. Yeah. So it's been fun. And then we
don't forget about
George. Oh yeah, Clooney. Yeah, of course. Batnips. But you know, then we did also talk about Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Make sure you say the full name when you say it. We did even do that, and that was our first dive into Batfleck.
The Snyderverse, yeah.
All right, is that what it's called?
I believe so, yeah. And well, obviously, this film we're talking about today, the 2017 release of the Justice League.
Everyone just went, oh.
Yeah, well, it wasn't without its controversy. And obviously, last week, it had a bit of a resurgence because of the HBO Max release of the Snyder Cut.
Right.
During the filming of this film, Zack Snyder had obviously done Batman v Superman. He was kind of putting together this whole, basically DC's, well, it's the DCU. He was introducing all the other characters, and tragically his daughter passed away during the filming of Justice League. And Joss Whedon, who was one of the writers of the film and has done other kind of ensemble cast things such
Buffy.
As Buffy, Firefly, Avengers, of course, and Age of Ultron. He was brought in to kind of do the post-production and do some, you know, reshoots, extra scenes, and was originally meant to kind of do it in the same tone as Zack Snyder, but kind of did a bit more of his own thing than maybe Snyder would have wanted, and ended up producing this film, which a lot of people weren't happy about, and that's why the kind of whole Twitter movement release the Snyder Cut became a bit of a thing. And fast forward to 2021, that happened. A 4-hour version of this film in Zack Snyder's vision, which I still haven't seen yet because I did want to watch this film first. And today was actually the first time I've seen this film.
Wow.
So, it's something I'm definitely going to go and go back and watch at some point. But yeah, a lot of controversy kind of around this. And then to add on top of that, all the reports of kind of like bullying and a toxic work environment with Joss Whedon on set as well.
Which he has some other things also from a lot of other...
Yeah, exactly. Like a lot of stuff coming out kind of puts a bit of a black eye on this whole film. And what was going to be, I mean, we've got end credit scenes and stuff, which was hopefully going to launch this film and this franchise further. It's now very up in the air. We've got, like, as we just mentioned, The Flash is still going ahead with Ezra Miller. I imagine we're still going to get more Aquaman and Wonder Woman films, but Ben Affleck kind of hanging up the cowl after this, being done with it, but then sort of roped in to do The Flash. You've now got the other franchise starting with Robert Pattinson, where you go, is this the same universe? Is it different universe? It all becomes a bit of a mess. But I think maybe they've lucked into being a bit of a mess because now it's all about the multiverse.
Yeah,
no?
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Because look how huge Spider-Man did.
Mm.
Like, your mom knows about stuff. You know what I mean? Your grandma knows about this Spider-Man. This movie thing was everywhere. This huge Spider-Man movie. Like, everyone was like, whoa. And look how much money it made. And I thought it was awesome. But Batman, yeah, they've had such a mess. We've talked about all these movies. And all of them are amazing and awesome movies to watch because of their own different reasons. You know, you watch the Nolan trilogy and you go, wow, this thing is like, it's an art. It's like a graphic novel come to life. It's great. It's dark. The acting is amazing. Everything's on point. You watch Batman and Robin because you're really stoned and you all want to have a laugh and take a shot every time Arnie makes a ice joke or something, you know?
Yeah, I've definitely found this project more enjoyable than the Star Wars
100%.
One. I do enjoy Star Wars. I'll totally go and see whatever Star Wars thing they make next. But it got very samey, and it was either good or bad, you know? Whereas this, it's everything. As soon as you've got a new Batman and a new director in, it's a completely different vision, a completely different retelling. You really can't compare, like, The Dark Knight to Batman and Robin, you know? It's right. Completely different takes, completely different style of film. So it's energized me a bit more when we've come to these Batman films. But we talked about a Lego movie, you know?
Like, yeah. Well, so that's what I'm saying. So they're going to do if like, it's going to be so like, well, Marvel just did it, but wouldn't it be funny? Like, wouldn't you pop huge if you're watching this Flash Batman movie, which I don't really understand why the Flash. Sorry, I don't watch the Flash. I don't know if it ties into that or anything, but I don't know like why Batman is actually in the Flash movie. But
so I believe that there's something called Flashpoint, and I'm going to completely bastardize this here. Okay. But it's something like, because Flash can work. I did watch a bit of the CW series, and yeah. It's something to do with his speed can kind of like break or fracture time or something in a way.
Okay.
So basically he kind of can create the multiverse. I've completely got that wrong.
Yeah, we're going to nerdy and
it is
wrong.
Tied, it is tied into the comics. Okay. There have been this kind of story. Okay. And I do remember there being a multiverse thing on the CW show. And there's rumors of him, the guy, Grant Gustin, being in this Flash film as well. So
okay.
They're definitely entitled, what I'm saying. They're not completely just saying Spider-Man did that and they're doing it.
No, but wait. So you're gonna watch this. And like you know, Charlie Cox said, the guy who plays Daredevil, he went to the movies to see Spider-Man. And at the showing, it was dead quiet when his character showed up. And he was like, oh, man, I guess people don't really give a fuck about me. And then the internet's like, no, dude, me and you saw the movie together. The crowd went, oh, fuck, it's Daredevil and Spider-Man. Holy shit. So he was like, oh, man. But how crazy would it be? They're going to do these little sprinkles of like, hey, here's the Flash from this show or whatever. Hey, here's Michael Keaton being Batman. I think Ben Affleck probably has to show up, obviously.
I think he's on the IMDb list.
All right. So, dude, because of like the big reaction Spider-Man got, like, you know, you're going to pop madness if George Clooney shows up. Like, it'd be insane. All of them. Any other ones. Val Kilmer, too. I would lose
him. How's Val Kilmer looking these days?
I don't know. I want to watch that documentary about him. So something tells me he went through some shit. But I don't know. But yeah, I would lose my mind. I would be like, that's hilarious. This is so silly. This multiverse shit is just so out of hand. And like, hey, if Hollywood's out of other ideas, fuck it. If done right. But yeah, this very, very, very strange. But we did talk about Batfleck and how Superman and Batman, and we had our kind of displeasures with that movie. There were some things in it we didn't really like, but I think still never having a huge Justice League movie, like, was something that fans, like, for me, there was always reruns of any sort of Justice League cartoon, Justice League Friends, or there's so many different versions of it. Like, and people, the generations before us, you know, we're being early 30s here. So many people used to read the comics with all these characters and stuff and never truly got, like, properly done. And especially the way superhero movies since, like, you know, in the 90s, late 90s were kicking off. So, like, still this had such a thing behind it. But then you mentioned all the stuff that went on behind the scenes and involving Joss Whedon taking over and stuff. So many people then went, oh, okay, then, like, this isn't going to be that good. And I was, like, kind of still excited for it. And even though I hated Batman v Superman after originally seeing it, I think I told the story on the shows where a buddy took me to the theater because he wanted to see it. And then halfway through, like, left to take a phone call and never came back. So I just watched half the fucking movie and I was like, fuck, I didn't even want to. So I didn't even go to the theaters for Justice. I waited till it came out on a service. And one day I was like, oh, you know what? I should watch Justice League. And then I watched it. And I was like, all right, cool. And we'll talk about it. But then years later, they did release the Snyder Cut. And I was interested. So me and that same buddy, except now it was at his house, so he couldn't leave. or to take a phone call. We watched all fucking 4 hours of it, and I did enjoy it. And I think after doing this, doesn't it intrigue you a little bit to kind of see where they would go with it?
It's certainly one of those things, watching it today, knowing all the negative stuff, like remembering hearing all the negativity to start with, then hearing everyone being like, oh, don't bother watching that version, watch the Snyder cut. It helped me enjoy this film more because I went in with very low expectations,
sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And therefore, like, I didn't have a terrible time watching this movie. I will say, though, my excitement level for Justice League, it kind of just crept up out of nowhere. I don't really remember the marketing behind this film being particularly strong when you consider it's this big team-up movie. And I think so much of that is the fact that you hadn't really had your Aquaman film come out yet. Like, you haven't had the individual films to build up to this. Whereas I remember I was in Austria when the first Avengers film came out, and we were looking to try and find a cinema, the nearest cinema to us, where it would be showing in English on opening night, because that's how excited we were about that film, because you've had the past, like, 4 years with Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man 2, building up
this ultimate team-up. Yeah.
And here, like, I've since like watched, you know, the Wonder Woman film, the Aquaman film. They're not fantastic, but they're enjoyable. And I think Aquaman especially is a character who I think he's got a couple of little scene stealers in this where you go, oh, he's actually quite a cool character. And if you had that origin film first, I'd been way more interested in seeing that. But really, just having Superman and Batman team up should be enough. And I guess you kind of blew your load early with Batman v Superman.
No, that was definitely like a 30-second thing. Because, you know, that movie, people hated that movie. And, like, that was the movie that was supposed to be the dawn of justice in the name. That was supposed to be the one to, like, wow, like, look what we're about to do. And then it was like, no, this sucks. We don't want to see any of that.
That's what I mean, though. You've already kind of wet our whistle a bit with having three of these people team up. So you've already kind of blown that moment.
Yeah, Batman v Superman was a three-pump chump. Like, that was like, here's the fight scene at the end of them fighting 5 good minutes in that movie. And the rest, you're just like, what? This isn't what I thought
it would be. So I'm seeing that it's like, well, I've already seen Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Superman's dead, so I don't know what's going on there. But you got Green Lantern in this, right? Nope, no Green Lantern, so that's not there. It's Aquaman who, as far as I'm aware up to this point, he's the Roman Reigns guy that talks to fishes, right? I haven't seen his movie. The Flash, it's like, oh, the CW show's pretty good. Are you having him? You're having Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell, like Flash and Arrow in there? Nope, we're recasting. Huh. And then I don't know who this cyborg guy is. So, like, even just looking at the poster, I'm like, I'll see.
It looks like
it really didn't intrigue me.
Yeah, it looks like one of those 10-man matches on Dark or Dynamite or something. It's like, okay, you got, like, I know some of these guys, some of these characters, but some of these other people, I'm just
it's
like,
it's the WCW invasion, you know? We should be having Hall, Nash, Hogan, Sting, and Goldberg. Instead, we've got Mike Awesome, Bill DeMott, and, like, Sean Stasiak.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
I know, like, obviously they shit the bed with Green Lantern, but it's like, come on. I think I was shocked that even going into watching this movie, part of you is like, okay, well, he's going to show up then. That's the hey, look who shows up. But no, they don't do that. They tease it, and in the Snyder cut, there is another member of the Justice League that is famous that does show up in the movie. So it's like they do kind of justify that, like almost like you want that pop, right? Like of something like, oh, wait, so that is some sort of, okay, cool. It's kind of like that. Whereas this one, no. Yeah. Where the, like, I know that movie sucks. So why not, like, get it right here? I don't know. I really don't know.
But I also just think, even though that movie sucked, like, Ryan Reynolds people like him enough and he's big enough name that I think people would just give another shot at him playing the role.
Because there is
if they wanted him to.
Yeah, like getting nerdy.
Or just having rather, yeah. I don't know, I don't care for this cyborg dude, you know?
He's popular, but I remember him being in that TV Booyah. Show. Yeah, Teen Titans.
Teen Titans, right?
Yeah, it used to be a good show. Yeah, so like it's kind of weird. It's exactly like the invasion. It's like, okay, we always wanted to see GLA as a movie. Holy shit, let's go. And we got just like okay versions of it. But there are still some good stuff to talk about from this movie, and we should just get into this movie, which is the original theatrical version of Justice League from 2017, and we kind of mentioned, obviously, that Joss Whedon took over here, but directed by what? Would you still say this is directed by Zack Snyder?
His name's on the credits, yeah. It's billed as his film. So he did film the bulk of this, but then when it came to like reshoots and editing, that's where Joss Whedon took over.
Right. Well, like you mentioned, Superman died, so and, well, they got to bring him back somehow because we know he's in the Justice League. So that's pretty much what this movie is. So we see Superman, but it's being from someone's phone, like a TikTok or an Instagram video, Snapchat or something, where there's something going on and these kids are interviewing Superman. And do we talk about this, the mustache now, or do we talk about the mustache later?
So it's the reshoot, right? Like it's the
I don't know, man. I just keep focusing on his face now that I say this, and it looks weird when he smiles. It's like a fake.
So he was filming a Mission Impossible film, right? Yeah. And then he had to go back to reshoot some bits, like in pickups.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let him shave his mustache that he'd grown for Mission Impossible. So he did. You can see all the pictures online of him, like as Superman with this.
Yeah.
This stash.
I'm sorry, but it's Superman.
And they edited it out.
You're Superman. That you're shaving the mustache.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible. We can wait for some reshoots. I'm Superman. Like, honestly, fuck off. But he didn't do that. So instead, I keep staring at this guy's face anytime he's on screen. And it's always apparent when he smiles, because then that's when you see it's like CGI. And I'm like, that's so weird. What, just such a weird thing in movie history that will never, ever be let go of, because people are like, what? You just didn't, you couldn't shave your mustache, but you're Superman. You're like, literally, this is a huge movie, you would figure, but okay. So, the kids say they actually host a podcast. So shout out podcasts. And, but of course, this is shown that it's because Superman he's dead. He died from Batman v Superman.
I like one of these kids asks if he can fight a hippo. Because aren't hippos the most deadliest thing on earth?
Are they?
I don't know, but I'd kind of buy that. I would
buy it, but
against a hippo.
I don't know. Like a lion or a tiger going up against a hippo? I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Put any animal against a hippo.
The hippopotamus is the world's deadliest large land mammal, killing an estimated 500 people per year in Africa.
Holy
Hippos
shit.
Are aggressive creatures, and they have very sharp teeth. Yeah, you don't imagine them having sharp teeth, do they?
Whoa, this is knowledge to me.
And they can weigh up to 2,750 kilograms. That can crush
what
a human
hell?
To death.
And here we are talking about superheroes named after a bat. There should be like Hippo Man.
Hippo Man.
The villain is the hippo.
Yeah, that's over 6,000 pounds they can weigh.
That's insane. Wow. I'm learning a lot here on a Batman review about how hippos. How is there no like someone's going to tag us? There is actually a hippo villain. There should be a villain that's like
a hippo.
Because I'm thinking Tarzan, he like jumps off the hippos' heads and they're like friendly. So I'm assuming that hippos, you're telling me, are not friendly?
There is. I mean, I imagine normally these lines are there deliberately because they are. Oh, but no, he's in Spider-Man.
There's a hippo man. I mean, there's a
just
rhino.
Called hippo. Just called hippo.
Wow.
First appeared in Dark Reign, the Sinister Spider-Man 1.
I love how the bad guys in the Spider-Man were like, yo, we need this guy. He's going to be a lizard. What should we call him? I don't know. Lizard.
Right,
cool. What about the guy who's got four extra arms like an octopus? Is he a doctor? Yeah, all right. Doctor Octopus. Oh, okay, cool. There's a guy who's a hippo. Yo, what's his name? I don't know. the hippo. It's good. It's clever.
That doctor's a bit strange, isn't he? What should we call him? Fucking Doctor Strange.
You think these guys are laughing now? Like, yo, look at this shit they're falling. I used to write these silly comics high out of my mind, and now they're making movies about this shit.
But the thing is, now you've got to be smarter than that, don't you? Like, yeah. You've got to, because everything's been taken. You know, Simpsons did it. You know,
yeah,
it's
true.
You've got to come up with new things now. But yeah, back then, you're like, yeah, he's a spider, he's a bat, he's kind of super.
He's Superman. Well, we are in Gotham, and there's some criminal doing criminal things, but Batman appears in the rain. It's always raining in Gotham, and takes this guy down, and then starts talking to him for some reason. He's talking a lot to this guy, and then what looks to me like, I don't like, the Vulture or the Mothman, really, is what this looked like. Kind of flies in, and Batman fights this creature that. It tries to bite him like a vampire or a bug, eventually Batman has to like attack it, and then it just like it kind of explodes, but into weird, like it's not human. So Batman's like, "Huh, aliens." So you could hear me say that with my hands, aliens, because Batman instantly goes, "Oh no, there's aliens." So he's going home to Alfred to tell him some knowledge here. But how do you think? What do you think so far about the opening?
So this is the parademon, right?
Yeah, that's what they're called. They're, yeah,
these, as you said, like they're like little, like they've got these like wings,
moth
on their backs
wings,
and
fly
demon winged things. Yeah, I don't like my Batman fighting aliens, and there's a great line later in the film. But yeah, when I think of Batman, I kind of like. You're more like grounded,
yeah,
mob-like villains. So it's kind of cool though, because I will say, when it comes to the films, we haven't really seen, and this is, as we said, like the 12th Batman film we're talking about here. We haven't seen him really interact with aliens. So I guess it is something fresh, but I don't know. I feel a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to, I just don't like seeing Batman fight with aliens.
Yeah, it's weird. Because it breaks that, like, oh, this is, it's kind of silly. Like, whereas before he's like trying to, this guy's going to blow up a bank if I don't, like, you know, yeah. It's like, okay, no, there's an alien and I shot it.
But you've got, with this, I do get it, because with this universe, it's, we're talking about Superman, we're talking about Wonder Woman and Aquaman. It is this more, like, otherworldly thing. Which we haven't really seen in the Batman films up to now.
Because they did a good job in Batman v Superman of actually having Ben Affleck like make that's his psyche. Like, that's what's making him trip out, because he's like, oh shit, there's fucking aliens? They're real?
Yeah.
And here I've been like using like non-lethal weapons and stuff. Like, oh, I gotta like step my game up if I'm trying to be a superhero. He's Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, okay, well, if that's the game now, then I gotta buy alien tech and shit. So he does have it, so.
And I do like how with Ben Affleck's Bruce, he's an older Batman, and even though, like, technically, some of the older Batman films you could adopt as his stories, potentially, because, as I said, he hasn't seen any of this until Batman v Superman, and there is a line later on with Alfred where he says about, I bet you missed the days where it was just wind up mechanical penguins and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So they allude to like the Batman stories you've seen in the past have existed for this character. And now he's later in life. And finally, like, the world's just gone to shit and he's seeing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, we see the world is sad because Superman is dead. So they treat it as if it's like the biggest thing. They've got monuments and stuff made for Superman, because not only did he save the world once, he saved the world again, but this time he died. So the whole world mourns him. We see Lois Lane is sad. Shout out Amy Adams. We see she's like working, but she's doing fluff pieces as a reporter, journalist, because she's just not like, she's not motivated at all. She lost her boy. We see a newspaper that kind of flashes over, and it's rest in peace to these. Is it rest in peace to these aliens, David Bowie, Prince, and Superman? Because I guess they all had passed away around this time, but yeah.
But also Prince did the theme
Batman.
For the 89 Batman film.
Yeah.
And I think David Bowie's song Heroes was used in the trailer for this.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
so like they've used their music as well. But obviously, yeah, I imagine both passed around this time.
So everyone's, we see also Clark's mom, Diane Lane, Martha. She like kind of has to get the house. It's been repossessed. Like she lost her, she's just sad and doesn't want to live in that house and all that stuff. So it's been sold to the bank. We see there's a bank somewhere. What looks like your neck of the woods. Was this London somewhere?
Yeah, we saw Tower Bridge with the Superman logo on it. And then, yeah, a bank in London.
Yeah, so Superman's flag is like everywhere. Because everyone's like, hey, they say he saved the world. We see some bad guys trying to rob some sort of big fancy bank and stuff, but we see Wonder Woman shows up, Gal Gadot. She's stopping all these baddies with the lasso of truth. Mm. I love the lasso of truth. So whenever you're wrapped around it, you have to tell the truth.
I enjoy it. It always makes for good comedy when this is used in films. Obviously, you've got the character in Mantis in Marvel, who kind of does a similar kind of trick, making you tell the truth. I always find it quite funny and led to some funny scenes in this.
Would you be terrified to get lassoed by that lasso?
100%.
Okay, it's not just me.
It'll be like Behind the BDE, but like on acid.
We'll see more of Wonder Woman in a bit, but yeah, she knows something's afoot. This movie doesn't do a good job right off the bat, just rewatching this for a second time. And since seeing the 4-hour mega Snyder cut, this movie doesn't do a good job of telling you really why this is all happening or what's going on for quite a little while. And like, you have to kind of figure stuff out like, oh, okay, cool. Like there's a thing that does that. Okay. Well, wait, so what's that? Okay. Well, then what? Okay. Well, when did they tell me that? Okay. Well, they don't do that a lot in this movie. And hey, it's 2 hours compared to 4 hours. Maybe it's just the condensed version. But Bruce Wayne is in Iceland. He's having a grand old time. It looks really cold. He's in this little village in the mountains. It looks pretty great. If you ever need to escape, this looks good. He's there. He talks to a bar outside the waters and mountains here and small town. And he says, I believe there is a stranger from the sea who visits here, and I'll pay you a bunch of money to let me talk to him. And we see not Roman Reigns, but Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Aquaman. He's here. He's jacked. He kind of talks to Bruce a little
Toronto's
bit.
Toronto's favorite tourist, right?
Yeah. He loves Kensington Market. And Jelly King beer. So if you ever, apparently. And so he talks to him. Bruce says, look, I'm building an alliance. We need people. We need help. Something's about to pop off and we need friends. And I'm here to talk to you. Cause he assumes, okay, that it's gotta be this guy. He like looks over at the bar and there's like a children's drawing or something like drawing of him. That's like him as their savior. So he realizes, oh, I'm talking to the guy.
And he had seen the brief clip of him.
Oh, that's right.
Batman v Superman.
Yeah, that's right. So he then talks to him and he goes, point me to Atlantis if you're not the guy, cause I'm trying to find this guy. And then he kind of reveals it's him. So he says, I hear you can talk to fish. Which pisses the guy off. That used to be always how you make fun. Like, hey, it's Superman. He can fly.
Joke.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. She's Wonder. And the guy who can talk to fish, always. Yeah. They definitely changed Aquaman for the better. They made him a total badass.
I think he's pretty good. And he does have this, like Jason Momoa has this great charisma about him as well. And just looks the part, right? He looks like this underwater god. Apparently, when this was shown in Sweden, in Iceland, they have these, they don't dub the audio. They just have the subtitles in Swedish at the bottom. And the line that Aquaman says in Icelandic was so badly
like
said.
Butchered?
That they had to still translate it into Icelandic in the subtitles. And apparently you always got a massive laugh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're seeing. You're talking about, but I couldn't. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Bruce pretty much is like chasing this guy now as he's walking away, and he's like, "Look, man, like I'm from Gotham," and he's like, "That shithole," and then he just kind of goes for a swim. Just takes his shirt off. And there he goes.
Bruce asks about. He sees like these kind of this drawing, this almost hieroglyphic of Aquaman, and it does have these three boxes next to it, and he kind of twigs, and you mentioned with the stuff in London, we assume this is like going to be the MacGuffin of the film, these three boxes. Again, like, if you compare this to like the Tesseract in Marvel, that they've been introduced gradually in every single film, whereas suddenly it's like, this is the thing you should care about, these
exactly.
boxes.
Yeah. It's not good. They don't do a good job of telling you, like, what the fuck this doesn't even... You're just like, oh, there's a... And also, they literally call them boxes. It's like, they don't really... Yeah. Like, of course, they have fucking stupid names, I'm sure, but they literally keep saying the boxes. It's like...
A Tesseract sounds cool.
Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck
that
is.
A mother box isn't the
What's
most
in the box?
Thrilling thing.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. So, I do love this scene, actually. I do love Ben Affleck and Jason Momoa, like him coming to the village and stuff, finding him and stuff is pretty cool. I think probably parts of my favorite parts of this movie is them.
You know that, like the meme of Ben Affleck with the cigarette, just like, where he's sighing. That's what I get from Bruce in a lot of this film, and I love it. Because he is older, and he's trying to... Now there are superheroes and things, and he's trying to recruit this guy who's just not interested, and it's just Ben Affleck with a cigarette meme.
Yeah, always. Oh, I love me some Ben. I think it took me a long time to appreciate Ben. He was the bomb in Phantoms, yo. We go to Bruce, who's now with Alfred, and hey, who's Alfred?
This is Jeremy Irons. Yeah. Scar.
Scar!
Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
So, this is when he mentions to Bruce, like, oh, aliens and stuff? Like, don't you miss the days? And kind of mentions those penguin toys and, like, fighting guys on the ground, essentially. Because now you're into some bigger things. He's basically doing what every Alfred is like. Yo, you're rich. You just fly somewhere and live your life. And, like, if the world goes to shit, he's like, no, I gotta protect people. Basically, Bruce Wayne in this movie is... he's like Dr. Dre. He's like DJ Khaled. He's trying to bring all these other people together to kind of like, you know, work together in this league. So we see them still. He's not, he's like, I pushed the right buttons with this Aquaman guy and maybe, you know, we'll bite, but he's not quite sure if he will see him again. And then this is when we go to our first like glimpse of the Flash. So this dude's like in line to what we assume is some sort of jail, like meeting someone, and this guy behind him in line here is being kind of rude and aggressive. So you see like this like flash on your screen, literally, flash. And then it shows that the guy's face has now been like graffitied up, like mustache, and he looks like a SoundCloud rapper essentially. But now we know, like, this guy's
got
the Flash.
Got glasses on and stuff, like, drawn on. Yeah.
So
this is Barry Allen.
Yeah, so Barry Allen, Ezra Miller, I'm not familiar with, but he has some comedy chops, I will say. More of, like, your younger...
Yeah. Yeah, I would go in and out with whether I liked him or not in this film. I think I'm trying to remember what I've seen him in. We need to talk about Kevin and Perks of Being a Wallflower. Like, he's a good actor, plays... Have you seen We Need to Talk About Kevin?
No. Who's Kevin?
It's this... Basically, this kid who just wants to torment his mum throughout the whole film and leads to a big, like, school shooting. Like, he plays
Jesus.
That character. It was a really popular book, and the film is with Tilda Swinton. Really good. He's a great actor. And he's good in, Perks of Being a Wallflower as well. The comedy at times, I just found him annoying, but I do think this character was needed because otherwise it's a lot of the other characters are a bit dark. So I think it was cool. But again, I would have maybe liked a bit of an origin story first. And I do like the guy who plays it in the TV show. I do like his portrayal of Barry Allen, whereas this one was a bit more annoying.
Right. And he's more of a kid. He's like Spider-Man. Yeah. It's like they wanted that Peter Parker and in Spider-Man kind of thing. And I guess they are going forward with that movie Flash. Then they wanted someone to do that and grow up with essentially. But we meet this guy, his dad's in jail and we kind of hear his story. So he's not, so he goes and visits, but he's kind of not, we're not sure what's going on with his life. He's kind of this nerdy loner kid, you know, kind of quirky. And then it goes from quirky teenager to strong Amazonian women. Just giant Amazon women, the Wonder Woman side of the story here. And this is where we kind of get an introduction to what one of these boxes.
The mother box.
The mother box. See, that's not, that doesn't sound. So we meet our, what I guess we could call our main villain here, who is Steppenwolf. Mm. And it had to be the first time they actually said his name that I went, oh, okay, it's that guy, I guess. It's not Steppenwolf the band, but the villain. I absolutely hate this villain. I think he looks terrible. I've definitely talked about CGI in movies. This is one of my least favorite
bad guys. This is my big main problem about the film, is this bad guy. They cast someone, Kieran Hines, who plays the part, is a fantastic actor. Brilliant in Game of Thrones. He's done... Yeah, I really like him as an actor, but yeah, the CGI in this film, whenever I'm watching any of these bad guys, I just feel like I'm watching a video game. And that's kind of what I felt with the climax of Batman v Superman. I'm just watching a video game on screen, and I can't get any kind of emotional attachment to this guy. I think you could have just had an actor in makeup and costume, you know, for this part. I think it would have, I'd have bought it more. But yeah, just I didn't care for Steppenwolf at all. And especially when he is your sole villain in this film.
Really, yeah.
It wasn't good enough for me.
Yeah, it was really weak. And I remember thinking that when I first watched this movie. And again, this is the second time watching this cut. And I'm like, man, no wonder I hate this movie, because I hate this. I hate anything CGI. Even in the... what do you call? What's the other one? I'm trying to think of where we've seen Steppenwolf before in like other shows and stuff. But in the cartoons, like comic books and stuff, like he's looked different. He looks like low key or stuff. But in this, he's like, yeah, I'm trying to think. I think Amazing Spider-Man, they have the lizard, and I'm kind of like, it's kind of the weakest one.
Yeah, I think like Thor the Dark World, when you've got the elves, that as well. Just there's a disconnect. As soon as a character looks like complete CGI, it just disconnects me. Whereas you think of the best villains, there's that element of human in them. You know, your Jokers, Michael Keaton's Vulture in Spider-Man is really good, because there's a human being there. And I think you can have this godlike character, but just, as said, he just looks like a video game character, and just didn't care whatsoever.
No, especially when it's like the all metal parts, like the masks and helmet, the stuff that moves or whatever. Like, it just doesn't look cool at all. And like, when I think of Justice League, I think of the cartoons or the comic books when I was a kid, and it'd just always be Lex Luthor with his hand over everything, and like, he wasn't even involved in this. Like, he's not even in this fucking movie. So it's like, okay, well, then wait, I'm just supposed to care about this guy who's like all this powerful. It's like, it's weak. It's so weak that it's makes this movie, takes it down completely. And that's why I would not compare this to Avengers whatsoever. Just because Avengers did the great job of like, hey, what? Like, there's all this shit. Who's the bad guy? Fuck, who's the bad guy in a first Avengers movie?
Low key.
Okay. Yeah. And which I already mentioned. Yeah. There's comparisons, and they did a totally different version of that, and totally went with like this.
And I said, I've seen this actor play a bad guy. Like, he's phenomenal. Like, he'd be great. Just he wasn't allowed to do anything, really. It was all just the visuals here, and it sucked.
Yeah. So, I mean, we see Steppenwolf here. He's kind of like a god, a new god is what they say. And, also like in Justice League, this guy's kind of a soft character, whereas they thought they were doing this like universe where they go forward with stuff. And I assumed they were going to make Darkseid the main big baddie, like their Thanos. So maybe that's why they didn't want to necessarily go with him here, but it's like, nah, like, this bad guy sucks. So we meet him. He's beating up some of these... Man, he is beating some of these Amazon women up. He's, like, beating up their horses at one point. He's running off with the box. He's going everywhere. He's like I just said, he escapes with one of the boxes, and they're chasing him, shooting arrows at him. Death by Snoo Snoo. But these Amazon women, they can't stop him, and he gets away. And... yeah, he steals the first box. But yeah, I think we're on the same page about Steppenwolf.
Absolutely.
Great band. great band, but not a good villain. Mm-hmm. We go to Diane Lane and Amy Adams, the Kents here, and they're just super sad about Superman. And they're like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be great if Superman was back? It would be pretty great, right? It would be. It would be pretty. And then Martha's like, yeah, you're not wrong. It would be pretty cool. It'd be chill if Superman wasn't dead. Which, hey, maybe they're onto something. Wonder Woman meets Bruce Wayne in his lab, and he's like, oh, like, hey, welcome in here. So this is our first. What's her like shoot name? Diane.
Diana.
Yeah, Diana. Yeah. And they kind of, they've always teased in any iteration that they're a couple. I'm sure they have, like, they get married in some
Wonder Woman and Bruce?
Yeah. They kayfabe-wise, they get it, he's, in other iterations of Batman, he's with Catwoman, and I'm sure they have kids and superhero kids and stuff, but I'm pretty sure Wonder Woman and Bats are a thing in, like, other forms of Justice League media. Someone is going to fact check us for sure by listening to this, but
yeah, I'm just looking into it. There's a lot. I'm sure maybe at one point they came to respect each other in time.
Should me and you like create a fan fiction
Batman
romance novel?
Developed a fondness for her.
you want to help me write a Batman Wonder Woman fan fiction romance novel and just try to ship it as a graphic art?
Yeah,
get
sure.
Dickie to do the art.
I'm pretty sure people have done it before.
Be great. So she's talking to him, and they're kind of coming, talking about these boxes as well.
Oh, sorry. The first time Wonder Woman falls in love with Batman is in The Brave and the Bold, issue 78.
Damn. Okay. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Damn. So, okay. There is something there. I'm not crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Ben.
Fucking Ben. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Gal Gadot, though. I think she's kind of wooden when it comes to acting. I feel like everything is very like the same face, the same tone and stuff. But I don't mind her as Wonder Woman because she's kind of like Superman. It's like it has to be that way, I guess.
Yeah, I think she's actually really good as Wonder Woman. I haven't seen her in enough other things. I did see her in a...
Oh, you know what I saw her
spy
in?
Thing I saw her in. She's actually kind of funny.
Oh,
in.
You know what she was so funny in was that video of her singing.
Imagine
John Lennon.
Because
that made me laugh. That I maybe ever since I watched that, I don't like her. But no,
it definitely made you go. Wasn't it a film with Sandra Bullock? I think I saw her in. Where
sounds great.
Or am I? Or was it? Who's the other one?
Oh no!
I think everyone's Sandra Bullock.
You think Sandra Bullock is someone else all the time. Sandra Bullock, apparently Sandra Bullock, I watch Jimmy Kimmel sometimes, and recently there's been rumors about Sandra Bullock being cast as Madame Web. So Jimmy Kimmel is a huge spider. Jimmy Kimmel loves comic book stuff, but he specifically loves Spider-Man. So he was grilling her about it on his show. He's like, I have to ask you. And she's like, I actually have, that's not a real thing. Like, at least she's saying it is. It wasn't real, but that, she was heavily pursued for a role that she won't disclose, but she said it was a big prominent role for the other guys, meaning not Marvel.
Oh.
And that she was like, hell yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat when her kids said, no, don't do it. It won't be as good as.
Oh, right. Okay.
So she's like, okay, my kids said, don't do it. And like, she won't disclose what it is, but something tells me it was Wonder Woman or what? Lois Lane?
Well, we've got Amy Adams. Oh, you mean in...
So, like, no. She didn't say it was Wonder Woman, but I would assume it was. Sandra Bullock is Wonder Woman. It would be weird. Yeah. It would be weird.
Keeping Up with the Joneses is the film I'm thinking. With Zach Galifianakis, John Hamm, and Nyla Fisher.
No idea what the fuck.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I think it was on TV in a hotel room once. Where I was, and I was like, all right, this is okay.
Nice.
got a solid 5.9 rating on IMDb.
Oh, fuck. Well, Diana is with Bruce and they're chumming it up and they start talking about the big threat. Again, this movie just really rushes into things like, hey, there's a huge threat that could kill everybody again. So they got to stop it here. Basically, when Superman died, other aliens are like, oh, he's dead. So we can just go over there and fuck shit up and take it over. But they do a bad job of telling us that, I think.
I think it's kind of Batman at the end of Batman v Superman was like, yo, that was scary. What happened there? And he gets the warning from Flash, doesn't he? I'm trying
right.
to remember.
Well, that comes into play later, yeah.
So I think he's just like...
He's spooked.
Even if he knew or doesn't know about these boxes anyway, he thinks it's a good idea to form a team. He just happens to be doing it at the same time Steppenwolf is collecting his boxes.
So we see flashbacks here now of like all these Amazonian people fighting and stuff back in time. And this is when we see a Green Lantern in some way, shape, or form that gets murdered and like destroyed. And we see the ring like land somewhere. And that's kind of where that's it. We don't see the Green Lantern ring. That this is your little Easter egg here with
right.
with this ring. So, yeah. That's it. So we know Steppenwolf is trying to get these boxes and rule the world and yada, yada, yada. See more of the story of boxes and the Amazonians and the Atlantis. They also had a box.
It's kind of a bit like Lord of the Ringsy here.
Right.
Like they say, one mother box was trusted to the Atlanteans, one to the Amazonians, and one to the men who can't be trusted, so they buried it and hid it where no one knows where it is.
Yeah, I could have
said men are weak.
It's facts.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, you said it best, so we'll go with that. We go to Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen. So now Bruce is going after Barry to join his team because he's like, hey, this guy's kind of fast. So we see Bruce is in his house, his apartment? Like Barry comes home and sees Bruce is there, and Bruce starts to talk to him. So Barry's a little like, oh, okay, what's going on? And I don't know if you noticed here, but Barry Allen and us have things in common. Barry Allen likes Rick and Morty.
He likes Rick and Morty, yes.
Because one screen is Rick and Morty, and the other screen was a music video playing behind Bruce's head. Did you see what it was?
Was it Short People by...
No, it's our new favorite band. Right before you left, we found a new favorite band. Blackpink.
Oh, I forgot about them. Yeah. Wow, okay. Good taste, Barry Allen.
Yeah, so he's listening to K-pop, and he's watching Rick and Morty. Shout out Blackpink. If you don't know them, you should look them up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought that was funny. Bruce goes to like test them by throwing one of his batarangs, bat stars, ninja bat stars at Barry. But Barry is so fast that he just dodges it and catches it. Imagine Bruce was wrong and it was like the wrong guy. And he just whips this dagger into his eye. But he
saw nothing. Yeah. And this, I do like this though. Like Bruce, obviously it's not public knowledge that Bruce Wayne is Batman. But he's very trusting here. Yeah. He wants this kid. So he's like, I'm just going to show my cards here. I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Throws the bat thing.
And
I thought this was a quite good reveal. And the like the slow... I always like it with Quicksilver in the X-Men movies. Whenever you do these fast, slow motion things, I think are pretty cool. So
yeah.
Yeah, Barry Allen realizing that Bruce is Batman here and then... Yeah.
No, I do enjoy over the years, just Ben Affleck, I think needed to play this role. I love him as Bruce Wayne. I like him talking to Barry Allen, almost like in this older role, like mentor, like come join my thing. He's like, look, I'm putting together a team. I need people with special abilities. And before he can even finish the sentence, Barry's like, I'm in. I need friends. I basically am a loner. I have these weird powers. I got shit going on. I need something to do. Yeah. And that sounds cool. I need to help. You need help. I'll help you. So, then he talks about brunch and he argues that like brunch is something that's like not for me. Cause I like to live things fast and I can't like going out for brunch with my friends is not a way of life that I like to experience. He just has a grudge against brunch and I guess we'll come into play later, but, then he mentions that we see like he's going with Bruce. He's getting in Bruce's like fancy. I don't even know what car that was, but it looks hot. And he's like eating all this pizza, even though he's a skinny guy. And he says due to like his powers and stuff, he has this crazy metabolism where he has to eat snacks all the time, eat food all the time. So he calls it the snack hole. And so he's just always munching. And then probably
I'd love this because I'm always snacking.
That would be great if you just needed.
If they could just burn off, it would be great.
I guess because he's running all the time so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he gets in Bruce's car. He's like, "All right, cool. Like, I'm ready to go with you. Where are we going?" And he's like, "Cool, we're gonna go to my I don't know what is it, his jet or something." And he's like, "Hey, what are your superpowers again?" I'm rich.
Line of the movie.
Yeah, whole line of the whole movie. Definitely use it in the trailers and everything too. But great stuff. We see – again, I do love the Ben Affleck going after these guys to talk to them and interacting with them is pretty cool. We go to Diana, who is talking to some people, and she's trying to recruit Victor Stone, who is also the cyborg. So you don't know anything about the cyborg?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen bits and bobs of him, but I can't say he's the most interesting.
Yeah. They don't do it justice in this movie. And I think something that is a super big positive in the 4-hour version of the movie, the recut or whatever, is they tell you who this guy is. Is there's a backstory? It's good. So
okay,
do a bad job here for sure.
Reading up about it, Snyder wanted this character to basically be the heart and soul of this film.
Right.
He wanted like this character to kind of be the central focus, and that just completely changed in Joss Whedon's version. And I think that could have helped if you had it more based around him as this, maybe for me, a bit more of an unknown character, and having all these other characters forming around him, but he really felt like a throwaway just making up the bodies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so Cyborg is this like robotic dude. It's kind of like Iron Man, really, in this movie. It looks like it a little bit. Like half his body was destroyed, so they saved him, and he's the human cyborg. And yeah, I know him from a lot of the cartoon shows growing up in all sorts of different shows, but more notably, I'd say Teen Titans was where I would read the comics or watch him, but they brought him into he got that main roster push. Come in here to the Justice
League. We did see the character in Batman v Superman, didn't we?
Yeah,
we saw him have the accident and stuff.
Right,
I think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I just feel like in the longer version, like they go into him more and they definitely like explain things and how it kind of more things make sense. And yeah. And the actor who plays him here, he's pretty good as well. He doesn't get his shine in this movie whatsoever, but Ray Fisher is the actor. But
he doesn't
get the shine he kind of deserves. And he kind of does get a second chance in that recut. But
that's cool.
So she's trying to recruit him, and Wonder Woman's trying to recruit him to this team, and he's not very interested.
She's contacting him through a computer because he's basically
a robot.
He mentions later or earlier in, like, he speaks like alien and digital because he's at one with the machine, basically, his body.
So she's hoping he's not catfishing her, and she wants to meet up. Yep. Yo, yeah. you up? Let's link. Come through. And eventually that happens. So she's trying to recruit him, but he's still not interested. We see Aquaman, who's just living his life. He wasn't interested in Bruce Wayne. He's saving some sailors, and because that's what he does. Like he's saving people. He's using his powers for good, and people know he's a hero. But while this is happening, he notices something going on underwater. So as he's down there, this is where it kind of dips into the Aquaman bit here, where I think it's Steppenwolf who's stealing the box from Atlantis. Now, as well, he tries to fight him off, but he can't stop him. And we see Mrs. Aquaman, right? Amber Heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Amber Heard. No, not really. But I didn't watch Aquaman yet. I have not watched it, but I think I'd want to after rewatching this movie.
It is enjoyable, and I do think Jason Momoa's pretty good. It's definitely one of the better DC films.
Right,
for sure.
Okay. Clearly the Steppenwolf thing, he's stealing boxes, it's moving day, so he's going off. So Aquaman now is going to be interested in maybe teaming with, he's going to be like, maybe that Bruce and thing was onto something, because this guy is coming. He did warn me. Shit's about to pop off. So now Steppenwolf has two boxes now. That's right. If you thought this movie couldn't get any more crazier, the mean drum teacher from Whiplash shows up. J. Jonah Jameson is in this movie with, I don't even know how to describe his haircut here. Commissioner Gordon is played by J.K. Simmons, who now is in, yes, he's in both universes. That slut J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
I love this guy, though. What's going on with the haircut?
I can't remember it. He was in a hat for most of it.
It's like, you know, Spider-Man 3 bangs, emo bangs? It's like that, but blonde. I don't know. Or gray. I don't know.
I've got to have another look. Because I just oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But I love this guy. So him is
like Andy Warhol-esque.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. It's so weird. So he's got the back signal and he's like, yo, we got to talk to Batman. There's some shit going down. He shouldn't really know anything at this point, but a cop, the commissioner of the city, is like, what are you going to fucking do?
I'm looking at these pictures of J.K. Simmons, and I just see this one of him looking absolutely jacked in the gym. And the headline is J.K. Simmons getting insanely buff for Justice League. For what?
Yeah, for wearing
a hat.
He's
in a suit, putting a light on the whole thing. Asking for Batman. But he looks jacked here.
He is jacked in the pictures of him in the gym, but him in the Jim Gordon outfit, not so much.
Yeah, no, he's in a suit the whole time. And a raincoat.
Fuck. Not my Jim Gordon. No.
No.
He does a good Jim Gordon.
He's a great actor, though, and yeah. Like, you're so used to him being an asshole in these films that it's kind of weird seeing him not as that.
Yeah, so J. Jonah Jameson puts up the bat signal and says, Batman, get me pictures of Spider-Man. Basically, Batman's like, yeah, you're going to be seeing these Mothman parademons. They're going to show up, and I'm going to try to stop them, but, you know, we gotta stop these parademons, because if the guy gets the boxes, the cop's like, what the f-? Jim Gordon's probably like, what the fuck? I'm way out of my pay league here. Like, I'm talking about aliens now? What the fuck? So they got to fight all these things. Flash, Barry Allen. This is them, like they're getting ready to, like, be a team, be a stable here, like, forming their team. And Flash mentions that he does not like bugs and guns. And, you know, we always knew, especially reviewing all these different Batman movies, that Batman does not like guns. However, in the Snyderverse, in the Whedonverse, whatever, Batman fucking loves guns. If Batman has to fight aliens, he's using guns. So we just see Batman.
Yeah, he doesn't kill people. He's got a different rule for aliens.
Wow. Batman wouldn't he? That's
You're
very
a demon
Elon
with
Musk.
Wings. Yeah.
Fuck. You're not from this planet? I can kill you. Fine. You're different from me? Oh, I'll kill you. What an asshole, Batman. No. But his moral thing is like, hey, I won't shoot people or use guns. But then in this movie, he's like, I might have to laser down these aliens. So these evil aliens. So they do start to fight lots of these parademons, all of the Justice League here. Well, Aquaman, I don't think he's quite shown back up with them yet. He hasn't at this point. So it's just the kind of the core of these guys. No, Cyborg as well yet. And there's all sorts of stuff. We see the Batmobile, which we mentioned in Batman v Superman. It's like kind of similar to the Tumbler in the Nolan one, but it's more of like a tank, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like it's a mini tank. But then we get to see some of the gadgets in this movie, which I would call it, or a Batmobile as well. But this Nightcrawler, not the X-Men, but this device from Batman. This was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like how would you describe this?
Flying it like bat. Like it looked like
flying, but it had like legs as well.
I don't know.
It
was sick. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I forgot about this. I was like, oh, okay.
And I like how which way round was it? Was it Batman asks Alfred to like prepare it, and Alfred's like, "Oh yes.
Yeah." He's like, "Yo, about
like
time."
Like they build it. All right, we need that Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Also, Flash was kind of afraid to get involved here. They were showing that he's like never really.
He's like, "I'm a kid. Why would I fight people?"
I mean, I have not done any of this. So Batman just tells him to go in and save one person and get out. That's all you need to do. You don't need to fight, but you're quick. If you can save one person, you're doing something.
So Batman, like, stares at him when he says that, and then you see Flash realizes what he meant, so he keeps going back and forth and, like, getting people out. He's like, that's what your job is to do here. So, yeah, again, Batman's, like, orchestrating everything. He's the vision here. So this fight keeps going, and we see Batman just capping people. Again, he's got this, like, gun. He's just popping caps in aliens, but there's a lot of aliens, so they're kind of being outnumbered. When Cyborg shows up, he starts lasering some people. Again, he's kind of Iron Man-esque with his rockets and cyborg things. So they kind of fight off the city. We see Batman and Gordon have like a moment here, and Gordon just like looks and he goes, huh, millions in damage. Not much has changed, huh? Because, you know, Batman will stop like a crack drug dealer.
But cause, take down a whole building.
Cause a whole building to fall. Handbag. Yeah. So this is when Aquaman shows up as well here. And he's like, huh, maybe this Bruce Batman guy was kind of right. So all these weird guys.
He shows up and is like, and I helped.
Yeah,
like,
pretty right much. I like how Gordon also looks at like all these dudes in costumes now. He's like, huh, so there's more of you as well. And that's it for J.K. Rowling. It's J.K. Simmons in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was like one of our first big fight scenes, I'd say.
Yeah, I enjoyed this bit. The kind of look of the villains aside, I thought you had a lot going on. It was the first time we saw everyone team up. I liked the bit where Diana is falling and Flash just like runs and just pokes the sword very lightly in her direction because it's just out of her reach so she can use it. And then I think Batman has the line, sorry guys, I didn't bring a sword, as he just like stomps in the Nightcrawler. This was definitely one of the cooler moments in the film. I quite enjoyed this bit.
Which I think, again, like criticism of this movie is like this, we needed some more action, I think. We got little bits of action, but it was still a lot of just that CGI stuff from Steppenwolf. So nothing really, of course, this was all, I'm sure, on a soundstage with CGI and stuff, but it finally had the actual characters, actual something happening.
This felt the most, and I hate constantly kind of comparing to Marvel, but obviously the similarities are there. It's a big team-up movie, and we've seen them done so well with Marvel. But this felt the most Marvel-esque. I thought you had the little quips from each character, everyone kind of showing off, like, their skills. And, it was just a fun action scene. Definitely needed more of this.
Yeah. Well, we go to the Batcave. So Batman brings all his friends over. He's like, Alfred, put the kettle on. Bringing the boys over. And Flash is like, whoa, this is like a cave. It's like a bat cave. They discuss the mother boxes when Cyborg reveals that he is the final mother box. So Steppenwolf is actually after him. And like, yeah. So they go, wow, we're fucked. There's no way we can beat this alien thing. None of us can do this. Like even the Amazonians, even the fish guy, like we're fucked. So what do we do? We get Superman. Literally, yeah. Batman's like, we are not enough. We are not good enough to do this. So we need to bring back Superman to life. And another line I like from Barry Allen is, well, if we bring him back, is it going to be like, yay, I'm back? Or is it going to be more like Pet Sematary kind of thing?
Yeah.
Which will come in later. So Bruce is like, no, this is the only way. So, of course, he sends Cyborg and Barry to go dig up Superman. Yes, they go... they're going to grave rob Superman.
This poor kid.
It's like
both these, they're both kids, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Ah, oh, man. He sends the young kids to go do it. Like, Batman, you're rich as fuck. No, it's shady. I don't know. But still, you're Barry. You're, yeah. Anyways, it's great. So they're digging up Superman because they're going to bring him back to life. We have another moment where, Diana and Bruce, she sees Bruce is like kind of bruised and banged up from that fight earlier. So she kind of like helps him out and stuff. But again, showing like they have a connection and stuff. It's noted that like in Bruce's, like whether it's his Batcave or his jet or his like other places, he's always got like samurai stuff, like in the background. So I'm wondering, because I know in reading stuff about the movie, like Whedon was like, was it the Seven Samurais or something? Like there's like a tone of something, because, you know, there's, I guess there's something Batman with the honor code and not killing people or something, like, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of what I meant earlier as well. Like, you get the sense that all these other iterations of Batman we've seen exist within this character. Like, this feels very like League of Shadows, Christian Bale Batman.
Right. Hit, yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, he's gone through all that stuff. This is just years and years later.
Again, it's Ben Affleck smoking a cigarette here with like bruises from fighting aliens when he's like, yo, I usually just stop drug dealers and criminals. Yeah. And then Wonder Woman's like, oh, you're just a man. Like, yo, I'm this Amazonian like god and you're just some dude in a costume. Like, let me help you out here. Yo, you need some like band-aids? Like, she's helping him, but you know, they're, you know, they're kayfabe wise. We go to, well, the time where they're going to try to bring Superman back, and they use Cyborg to like charge the super box to help bring Superman back. For some reason, they're in like really orange looking water. I don't know what that has.
This is Zod's ship.
This
no?
is inside the ship.
Yeah. Cause remember where Doom was created by Lex was using Zod's body in this ship. And I believe it's the same water here that they're now, because that's Kryptonian.
The water looks gross.
Yeah. So they're using this mother box with the Kryptonian water, and Barry Allen's going to run really fast to make it work.
Gerbil in a wheel.
A battery or something, I guess.
Yeah. So he uses his electricity. Mm. It's basically like Back to the Future. Cause he runs that so back far that he can run like Sonic and like go almost like at a fast enough speed that it does like supercharge this thing to try to wake up Superman. So they eventually do this. The electricity's going everywhere. That Tang orange Gatorade looking water is slopping around.
This is also just Joss Whedon like helped write the script for this. This is Buffy as well. Season five?
When they're bringing someone back?
Well, Buffy dies, doesn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they bring her back. Post Buffy bot. She saves the key, her sister, and dies fighting the god. Yeah. And then Willow and the gang are like, we kind of want to bring Buffy back.
So that's what they're doing here. Yeah, he's just
recycling. Joss is just like, hey, I brought back Buffy. Let's bring back Superman.
So they do that here. And it works. The super box gets charged and Superman wakes up and dips, just flies away. They're like, huh, all right, cool. So they have to go try to find him now because they're like, holy shit. So they find him at his own like memoriam thing, like in the park in the city somewhere, this huge thing that's like...
Such a narcissist, isn't he?
He's just looking at it and they're like, whoa, he's back. And he doesn't know who he is. So now they're standing like the Justice League without, they're all opposing him and they're looking at Superman like, hey man, we're your friends. But he doesn't know who they are. He kind of recognizes Batman and because he's still coming to, it's like Jason Bourne here or something. I don't know who I am. And he talks to Batman and says, the world needs you, but it doesn't need you. And he's about to kill Batman now. He's fighting them. But of course, he's Superman. So
you won't let me live.
Yeah.
You won't let me die. Tell me, do you bleed?
So he does remember Batman. So he says it to him as he's like about to crush his head. So Superman has gone AWOL. He's gone not quite Bizarro. He's gone insane because he doesn't know who he is. He needs something to trigger that memory because he's about to kill the good guys on his side that he doesn't even know. When you hear his name, Clark, and it's Lois Lane. And then he just snaps into it. He grabs Lois and then like flies away. So Batman's kind of like, I knew it.
And Barry Allen has the line like, oh, Pet Sematary.
Because
He does come back as like evil Superman briefly. I have been critical of Henry Cavill. To be fair, I haven't seen him as enough in enough things. And Superman is a bit of a dull part. So I often find he's quite charisma-less.
Right.
But I actually thought he was fantastic in this scene where he was kind of playing the evil Superman. I found him pretty scary. I kind of wanted a bit more of evil Superman.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, that's something they would do eventually. I'm sure, like, whether it be Bizarro or whatever, but yeah, that's always been the best. Like, no one can match him. Superman has like the worst rogues gallery, 'cause all he has is Lex or himself pretty much. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I like this as well. I like Amy Adams. I recently, at my work, was playing American Hustle on, and I was like, man, this movie is so awesome. I forgot about that movie. But here, even here, she's good.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great here. And she's the key to saving Clark here. So, yes, that callback to Batman versus Superman, when the Flash visits Bruce.
Yeah.
He says Lois is the key.
Lois is the key.
So, of course, Bats was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And, like, you could tie into this being that time. Like, Lois is the key always. We never know why that is sent, but that Flash movie is coming out in, like, the next year or so. So maybe they bring that reference back.
November, I think it's coming back. Yeah.
So Superman is back, but he flew away with Lois, probably to go back to his house or something. So Aquaman was like, wow, I'm definitely got into some wild shit here, hanging with these people. And that's when, they ask, hey, do you actually talk to fish? And he says, the water does the talking. So he's kind of playing it off, but yeah, the dude talks to fish. They gotta try to find Steppenwolf. So that's like their plan. Okay, well, if this guy gets the box from me or kills Cyborg, referring to, then like bad things are going to happen. This is where the Bruce Diana thing happened. I was wrong, but yeah, after fighting, he's hurting. He makes himself a stiff drink and is just drinking it while she's like taking care of him.
I think a bit earlier on, she was questioning whether bring Superman back is the right thing. And he's kind of like, well, where have you been all this time? Superman's this like beacon of hope, and you've been living around for the last century, not doing anything.
Right.
And she kind of sort of reveals that she's been doing stuff in the background, but hasn't been like a public, like helping.
Sure.
Whatever.
She's also like, whatever. Oh, nice plane. I know someone who would have loved to fly that. Get over it. It's been years. You're not Captain America. Come on.
Yeah, like at least Captain America froze, so like his last memory was like, I was dating this girl like yesterday, and now it's it's like it's been 100 years.
Yeah, come on, love, you need to move on.
Fuck, Chris Pine's a handsome guy, so
I don't know. Ben Affleck though. Ben Affleck over Chris Pine, 100%. Especially like Bruce Wayne, like almost the silver streak in the hair kind of man, like damn. Ben Affleck's probably one of, like, he's got, what, he's back with J-Lo in real life. He's just living the best life again. And it's all because he played Batman. Like, this dude just got way, way too lucky.
I'm just looking at a bunch of Ben Affleck memes now. The one of him struggling with the Dunkin' Donuts.
Fucking love Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck needs his flowers, bro. We should review Goodwill Hunting just for the fuck of it.
Oh, great film.
Because the other day at work also, we had Jumanji on, and I haven't seen Jumanji in like easily fucking 15 years. And it made me, as soon as I finished it, was like, yo, I want to watch another Robin Williams movie.
Oh, I love Robin Williams.
He should have been in this movie.
Yeah, well.
He wanted to be, we've talked about him in our former Batman reviews, because he was, what, trying to be Joker? Riddler?
Yeah.
That'd been crazy.
One of them. Both the same.
Yeah. So, we're back to Clark. He's with his mama, Lois Calder, and everything's happy. They're like, whoa, Superman is back? We said, wouldn't it be great if he was back? And he is. And they're just super happy. And, he's like, well, I came back for a reason. Like, there must be a reason I'm back. So we might be seeing him again. But the Justice League got a fight with or without him. So they're going to chase Steppenwolf and attack him, because the world is getting crazy. A lot of these parademons and everything are attacking Mothman and yada. There's the Batmobile going through some crazy fire and brimstone and explosions here. This shows like almost this, like, it could be an apocalyptic world if these guys don't win this battle, because there's like everything going off and like the tank and him is just flying through. We get Aquaman now on the side of it and he's like ready to be launched into the air. Can Aquaman fly? He was definitely flying a few times here. So I was like, all right.
Is it the trident maybe?
Oh, right. The trident, of course. He says, you have a giant fork. And at one point, Aquaman says, my man, and then flies into the air.
There was a great bit a little earlier when they're just preparing to go on this fight, where Aquaman sat on the Whip of Truth or whatever it's called. And he's like, Superman no-showed. You don't have any powers. You might be working for the enemy. You keep tripping over your own feet and mine. And you're really, really hot. And he's like, oh.
Because on the truth thing. Yeah.
On the truth thing. The truth dangerous. Thing. It's a dangerous thing. Get you in trouble.
So he's beating up guys, and like these parademons flying through the air. There is a cool stuff. He is Aquaman, so of course he knows how to surf. Point Break here, because he gets on one of these parademons and like surfs, rides him like a surfboard while attacking other ones with his fork. It looked pretty cool. Trident. This is when Steppenwolf is gaining the advantage. He starts beating up Cyborg and he wants the core, the heart of Cyborg. So he starts getting at it by ripping off Cyborg's leg at one point. And this is when, Superman shows up. This movie would be a lot shorter if they just realized they just needed Superman to do this for them the whole time. He is fucking Steppenwolf up. He's throwing him around. It's like nothing. And this is when Barry and Superman meet, and then they are flying, racing back and forth, saving people. Again, Superman gets Steppenwolf and starts to just beat him down. And this is when these parademons start to turn on Steppenwolf and start to attack him as well. And Superman's like, that was really easy. And Steppenwolf dies. This movie,
pretty much.
Yeah. I had such a gripe with this movie because this movie is like 2 hours of these guys being like, yo, we need a team. These aliens are coming. This shit's going to be wild. And then they go, let's bring Superman back together. And then like literally Superman's like, oh, okay. Lasers, eyes out my, done. Cool.
Yeah.
What's up? It's like, oh, okay. That's it. It was like kind of it's very anticlimactic.
I did laugh at the bit though, where Superman says to Flash, I'll take the ones on the right. You take the ones on the left. And they go and Barry saves the truck.
Right.
And Superman then just comes lifting up a whole house, a whole building with these people.
Yeah.
And he's like, Barry's just saving family. And it's like, yeah, they're all useless not useless, but it's just Superman. They only need Superman.
This whole movie was
keep
them
away from kryptonite.
The whole movie was just letting him free so that he can save the world. I helped. It's like, you guys didn't do shit. When Superman showed up here, he's like, okay, what's going on? What's the situation? And they're like, yo, this Steppenwolf fucker is shooting up the city. He's like, huh, that guy over there? Pew, done. All right, let's go get something to eat. It's like, what? Yeah. This whole movie was setting up these guys to fight. The guy could, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this movie is so backwards, whereas Lex should have been the main villain. Lex still should have been somehow, like, nothing, like, just... okay, Superman showed up and shot the CGI monster. Great, okay. Awesome. So we get the action shot where it's all of them standing and posing like, yeah, fuck yeah, we did it. Cool shot of all the actors dressed up as their characters here. We get Bruce and Clark in Smallville, the house, Clark Kent and his mom and Lois, and they're moving back in and... Clark is like, Bruce, like, hey, thank you for getting my house back. But how did you get my house back? It was sold to the bank. And he says, yeah, well, I bought the bank. So flexing that he's Bruce Wayne, and he's finally helping Superman out with some money problems. So they can help each other. Superman can help Bruce beat bad guys, and Bruce will help Superman. He'll pay him to do it, essentially. So he's living his best life. He's alive. He has Lois. He's got Martha. Everything is chipper. This is the first time where they're boys now. It's like, Bruce and Clark. You won't get to see this again for a long time in the movies, because like Superman and Batman always are fighting, and then finally at some point there are a lot of comics and a lot of cartoons and stuff where they were like on the same side, and finally you get their like retribution. So again, I thought the acting from the two were pretty good. Then we see Bruce and Alfred. He's got the Wayne Manor. He soups it up, but now he's like, I need a big round table. I need 6 chairs and maybe more, referring to his Hall of Justice here in the manor. And then they talk about hope is real. And then we got the Batflyer thing. We see Clark. Everyone's just chilling, and the world is happy because there is justice. And when there is justice, it's because of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Credits.
That's the name of the film.
That's it. Boom. Booyah. What is it? Booyah.
Booyah.
Yeah, so that's Justice League. Wow. There is after credits where Flash and Superman have a foot race, which if you watched or read any comics, they used to do this all the time, so I thought this was pretty funny. The rules, though, they're having a little wager, friendly wager. Superman says, if I win, you're off the team. So he's joking. He says, but if I win, you got to buy us brunch. And he's like, what? And he's like, I don't know. Bruce told me that if I beat you, you got to buy us brunch. And Flash says, if I win, I get to tell everyone. So they go to race, but we don't get to see who wins.
No.
Who do you think?
Massive cliffhanger.
Who do you think would win in that? The Flash. No, we just talked about how Superman's a cheat code. So really he'd win. You'd hope the Flash won. You would think the Flash is faster. The guy's
powers. It'd be a very even race. Yeah.
Flash wins, because like if he doesn't, then like he does. They don't need him. We have the guy.
Let's give Flash something.
Yeah, Flash needs to win. And then there's an after credits. It's almost like a Marvel movie where we see Lex Luthor in jail. But when the bald headed guy turns around, it's not Lex. Lex has escaped. He's now on a boat, a speedboat. Now he's on a yacht with some other guy who looks like the dude from Magic Mike. And is it Deathstroke? Killshot? One of those guys. No, Deathstroke. And Lex Luger says, these guys have a league, huh? We need a league of our own. Boom. End. Finito.
Yeah. So setting up for a film that's probably not going to happen, I imagine.
The Injustice League.
It's a shame. It's definitely a rushed film. I quite enjoyed watching it for the first time. You know, I wouldn't say I was bored watching this film. But there's just a lot of things which hopefully from what I've heard, the kind of 4-hour Snyder cut will save and improve upon. So I'm definitely am looking forward to seeing that. We've mentioned a lot of it. Like it's, I think just having this film come out before a lot of the origins didn't quite work for me. I'd have liked a bit of an explanation on like Barry Allen's suit. That's a big thing and I guess maybe we'll see that in his film. But the fact that he's kind of shown that he hasn't really been in a fight or done any real superhero stuff, he's just fast. I'm like, well, why do you have this suit at this point in time if you've not done any of that yet? So there were like little things like that, and especially with, okay, it might be very, very Tony Stark, Peter Parker-esque, but you've got this billionaire. Like, couldn't he have just
made you the Flash? Yeah. Well, is he saying he has powers?
He is at Star Labs, isn't he? Like, I think it's the, I'm trying to remember from the show, the suit kind of like helps harness the
powers,
the energy and the speed and all that. But I would have liked a bit of an explanation because this kid's just like thrown in there. And the villain sucked. I think if you've got Jesse Eisenberg for this final scene, I think just have the, you know, the film starts with him escaping from
how much better would have asylum. How much better would that
and
be? The whole movie.
I can't say I was in love with Jesse Eisenberg's Lex in Batman v Superman, but I think you need a better villain for this, and or at least have maybe do Steppenwolf, but have it as Lex bringing Steppenwolf to Earth and helping him get these boxes or whatever. You need more of a human villain, in my opinion, to work.
Yeah. I feel like the movie should have been Lex is the one who's trying to enable these aliens to do this. He's like guiding them. He's like, look, Superman's dead. Now's your chance. And then he like basically, you know, is this guy is his hired gun. And then the Justice League can't beat this guy. So they revive Superman. But when they revive Superman who kills Steppenwolf, Lex is like, psych, bitch, I got kryptonite. So he starts to beat the shit out of Superman. And the Justice League saved the day. So it's kind of like a whole, like, we need each other and all that. It's the whole message of this fucking thing. Because at the end, Gary Clark Jr. come together. His cover of the Beatles plays. Banger of a song. Love Gary Clark. Of course, love the Beatles. But, like, that's the kind of message. Like, hey, we all need, you know, you're stronger as a team. And, like, that's the whole message of this movie and the advertising and stuff. It's like, yeah, why wasn't Lex Luthor, like, the bad guy in this? And, again, the Snyder Cut kind of does focus on other aspects and other bad things.
Well, I know you've got the Joker a bit in there, haven't you, in the Snyder Cut?
But not really, no. So
not really?
Like, okay. Yeah, it's like fast forwards and stuff. They have a lot planned, and because of this Flash movie with the multiverse stuff, like, there will be some craziness, but hey, maybe it will kind of come together and hopefully help this, but I don't think we'll be seeing that. We're not getting the Batman solo movie that Ben Affleck was supposed to do with Killshot, and I do think there was supposed to be – yeah, sorry, Killshot. Killshot's Will Smith. They were supposed to do something with him too. Just like everything kind of didn't get the great reaction, so they kind of just axed a lot of it. So, I mean, after this, the success of this next Batman, I would assume they bring the Pattinson Batman and mix – universes with the Joker is what I would.
It's a, I mean, I obviously we've not. Yeah, I think that's what I could see doing. Like, I would, because I think there's rumors of doing a Joker 2. I quite like the idea of doing, like, the Batman 2, Joker, Joker 2, and then have, like, the third part for both of them, those films, them coming together.
What the fuck's a Joker 2 going to be, though? Batman right now.
No, I think there's more to tell with the Joker first, because I think you have him as a sympathetic character in Joker 1. And I think you need to see him, like, shred all of that sympathy in the next movie, yeah. I think. So then he's ready. Because also, timeline-wise, you'll need an older Joker to face Robert Pattinson, wouldn't you? Because he's just a kid in the Joker movie. But
sure, yeah.
I do think, looking at the trailers and stuff for this new Batman film, I think the tones would match way more than... I can't see Joaquin Phoenix is Joker playing with this.
In this,
universe.
Not at
that
all.
Wouldn't work
no.
for me.
That's Jared
But I
Leto.
Definitely think Robert Pattinson, Joaquin Phoenix facing off in a... in a third part could be pretty cool.
100%. That will happen. They're definitely going to go that avenue. It makes total sense. I haven't even seen the new movie, but it just already looks like it would fit. This movie, Justice League, the OG version, it didn't hit. Even the repeat, it's like there's so – watching it again, it's like there's a lot of stuff that is just in it where I know the four-hour one is long, very long. 4 hours is a lot to watch, especially in one sitting. They are in chapters, but yeah, it's long. It does, however, fill out. It's almost like if you were to watch it at an hour intervals once a day, it would probably make it a lot better. So watching this just made me want to go watch that back. Everyone's yelling at us, well, just do it. It's like, yo, it's a four-hour movie. It took us 2 hours to talk about this two-hour movie. So maybe one day we'll talk about it, but honestly –
I
highly recommend
it within
watching
the next few weeks. Like, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's something I really want to watch.
Try breaking
it. I think
it's
really fascinating, actually, to do this with a movie. See, like, a completely different vision and stuff.
Maybe,
I find it very interesting.
Hey, yeah, maybe we'll cover it one day, because there is a lot of differences, and it is more, more fresh in my mind that I just watched this one, but I only watched the new one a little while ago, and I did go, hey, this was pretty cool, but, yeah, this one is weird. We have our bat ratings and stuff, but should we read some feedback first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so if you're not in our Facebook Up Next group, you should be. Go join us on Facebook if you still use Facebook. We post up feedback there, but for Patreon shows, we post feedback there. And I see there was a third feedback thread.
I just wanted all the feedback for this one. It's our final Batman review.
You put up the signal. You put up the signal everywhere, and we all came together like the Justice League. I'm going to read one here from the forum.postwrestling from Robbie from London, Ontario. Shout out Richmond Row, Robbie. He writes in, "Well, I have to give it up to you guys, willing to put yourselves through such a lesser version. I'm a DC guy, and I absolutely loved Man of Steel. Also love Batman v Superman, particularly the Ultimate Cut. Although I thought Justice League was fine when I saw it. It's very clear that Warner Brothers should have just let Snyder do his thing, since not only his cut of Batman vs. Superman much better, but the Justice League Snyder cut I absolutely adored and literally squealed in excitement many times. Snyder's was a big DC summer crossover come to life, but this 2017 Whedon cut, well, about halfway through the Snyder cut, I turned to my girlfriend and said, well, Whedon butchered this thing, didn't he? He certainly did." See, we're getting all the hate for this OG version.
We go to Faulty Rob, who says, "I absolutely hated the OG Justice League movie. It felt contrived and rushed. The Snyder Cut is definitely better. Many characters and plot lines are fleshed out, but then it lacks any editing and is far too long. I feel a good film lies somewhere in the center. DC has suffered in their film releases, but they are the kings of TV adaptations. Hope that eventually their film division catches up and cautiously look forward to the Batman. Thanks, guys, again."
Hey, thank you. We go to the Facebook group here. Don Cameron writes in. He says, "First time watching this movie, I really wanted to like it. Enjoyed the callbacks to the Batman and Superman themes, but there was something missing. It wasn't until I saw the Snyder Cut that I realized there was a lot more story we were missing. Skip this one. Watch the Snyder Cut. Such a better movie." Yeah, did we mention the themes? Because
It's pretty good. It's Danny Elfman composed it, but there's definitely callbacks, aren't there?
Yeah. So like when Superman shows up, you hear like the OG theme in there mixed in. When Batman like originally shows up, you hear his like OG thing a little bit there as well. But I know like they changed music guys too. Is it JL? The guy who did the Elvis remix, he was the guy who was doing the music, but he left with Snyder as well. But yeah, good catch, Cameron. And again, another person who's like, no, such a better movie, the Snyder one.
We go to Derek, who says, "I'm literally watching the Snyder version for the second time as I came across this post. Both versions were enjoyable, but the Snyder version is superior, despite it being overly long."
Davey, why did we not just do this? No, I'm joking. We go to Sunil, who writes in, "I watched both versions. The Snyder cut is better than the original release, but I felt like I was watching a series instead of a movie. It is disappointing how the movie included modern-day Pantheon. Could be so meh." Damn.
And finally, on the Patreon, we go to our wasn't expert, Chris Price, who says, "I saw Justice League in the cinema 5 times, and I enjoyed the film." Only five?
Only Chris? Five, Chris?
Only five.
Come on.
"However, this doesn't blow you away in the same manner that Marvel movies do. Within this universe, we went to Doomsday too quickly, and Superman's return had time to be addressed. Flash in this movie is portrayed as weak, whereas in the Snyder Cut, he's much more of a badass. This version of the movie is okay, and it isn't a bad movie, but the Snyder Cut is far better overall. And now back to the tattoo. As always, look forward to hearing your thoughts." Yeah, he's got a DeLorean tattooed on his arm.
He showed me. It's crazy. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Chris Price says he's seen, what, No Way Home like 16, 17 times in theaters?
Yeah.
But he's only seen Justice League 5 times.
Yeah. Well, it just says it all, doesn't it?
Rookie numbers. Thank you, Chris. And thank you all the feedbackers. And I think everyone's kind of on the same page here, Davey. I think we've enticed you. You have to go watch the Snyder Cut now, right?
Yeah. I feel we were both a bit more positive on this film than I thought we were going to
be. Look, we haven't done our ratings. I'm being nice.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear me shit on this movie because I'm about to.
All right.
This is some interesting ratings from me. You're going to either agree with me or you're going to think I'm crazy.
We'll see. Well, we're eliminating one of the categories because there isn't a secondary villain in this film, but all the others are the same. And when it comes to averages, it doesn't really affect things. So let's start off with someone I think we both might have a similar score on. Bruce.
Yes.
The portrayal of Bruce Wayne.
Batfleck himself. Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne. It was almost like it needed to be done. I grew up watching Batman animated series. And the way that guy's voice sounded was always great. We talked about him in The Mask of Phantasm. But the way he looked is literally how Ben Affleck looks in this movie. Like, if you put the picture of that guy and him here, they look identical. And He has a little bits of the thing. I'm being far generous, but I am high on the Batfleck Bruce Wayne because it was the line finally to just break, not really break a fourth wall, but what's your superpower? Oh, I'm rich. I thought that was probably one of the best Bruce lines there is. So get ready. A 9 for Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck. My highest rating on this movie. A 9. I know everyone's shaking their head, but man, the best part about this movie.
Know.
The best part about this movie was Aquaman and Bruce Wayne.
Just yeah, saying. I hear a lot of love for Ben Affleck, and and I agree. I think he portrays the older I'm too old for this shit kind of Bruce Wayne really well. He looks the part. He kind of being that sort of Nick Fury role, you know, bringing everyone together. He is the main character in this film.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
He's driving it. This does feel like a Batman movie, and, could have done. Unfortunately, we don't really see any of the Playboy aspect, which I always want a little bit of in my Batman films. He could have thrown on the charm a bit more with Diana, maybe. But yeah, I went for a 7, but could be persuaded to go higher.
Yeah,
a 7 for Bruce. And what about his portrayal as Batman?
Now, look, usually for any of these Bat ratings and Bat stuff we've done on these shows, my Bat and Bruce are pretty similar. If I liked you as one, I like you either. It can go a little bit. I did like him less as Batman, but you know what? I still think he's pretty cool. So I gave him an 8, which again is pretty high for Batfleck. But I think it was look, I got to fight aliens now. Okay, I'm using guns. So we get to see a different kind of Batman in this movie. It's like a different iteration.
Yeah, I went for a 7 as well. I do like his voice when he's Batman, and he looks great as Batman, but I don't feel in this film we got enough of his actual combat. In all the other films, I can kind of think of cool stuff he's done.
Right.
I can't really think of much of his fight scene. As you said, he's relying on guns and stuff. But the Nightcrawler is pretty badass, but that's more of another category. So I went 7 for Batman as well.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Steppenwolf?
The main villain. Yeah, we usually have two categories, but there really isn't one. So main villain, Steppenwolf, are you ready for this? I'm being very generous, and I'm giving it a 1.
Wow.
I absolutely hate this villain. I'm giving it a 1 because, the guy who plays it, who I guess I had the voice sort of track it or whatever, he actually doesn't come across like he hits his problem. It's just the way this character looks. The story of this thing doesn't make any sense. I would not give this character a 1 in the Snyder Cut. But in this movie, oh, man, hate this character. 1.
Yeah, same reasons. I went for a 2. and maybe that extra point is just because... Yeah, you forced them to bring Superman back, didn't you? As an actual villain with an evil plan, I guess it was. He did wreak some havoc, but yeah, this character is so forgettable.
Yeah.
And to be your big villain in your big Justice League team up movie, very, very weak. Alfred. So we've got Jeremy Irons here as Alfred.
Yeah, I mean, in Batman v Superman, he kind of shined and kind of fit that role pretty well. So I know, you didn't get a lot of him, and it's kind of the same way here. He's helping Bruce, kind of being his aide, but he still kind of has that Alfred charm, but not a lot. He brings up sort of the Penguin thing and a bunch. So I'm in the middle of the road. He wasn't bad, but there really wasn't anything quite too notable. The heart-to-hearts weren't as hitting, so I gave him a 5.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm just sort of being quite safe with a lot of these. I'm going 7 again.
Yeah.
I like him. I do buy his relationship with Bruce. There wasn't maybe considering it's this big team-up movie, there wasn't really enough trauma that Bruce went through to really rely on.
How many times do you need to see his parents die, man? Come on.
Yeah. But I did like it. I liked some of his one-liners. Said the stuff about the Penguin, the stuff with the Nightcrawler. He's always looking at what's going on with him and Diana. So a 7 from me.
What about the Batmobile?
So we're including the Nightcrawler in this, right?
I guess. Yeah. I feel like then I'm being way too generous on something, but I'm putting an 8 for Batmobile slash Nightcrawler, I guess. I like the Batmobile as well. It is a pretty cool looking tank, this unit of a thing. But the Nightcrawler thing is definitely where we're going. We did that Lego Batman review, and like he had some crazy Lego Batman flying. He had everything in that movie, even including this stuff. So like it did look cool. But then I guess I'm wrong in my next rating because I don't know. Whatever. I give this an 8.
Yeah, I went for an 8 as well. I thought the Nightcrawler was really cool. I do like the car, the Batmobile. As we said, it's kind of like the Tumbler. I think it looks like a really
cool. Oh, and I mean, I guess you got to get points. He picks up Barry Allen in a pretty flashy car too. So
yeah,
it would be like a Tesla or something in today's age, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Batmobile in this film, and that Nightcrawler is pretty awesome.
Okay, so then I don't know why I was so high on this then, because Suit and Gadgets, I like the suit. It looks like an old school comic. It looks like an old school TV series. It's definitely suited up, but he doesn't really use other gadgets other than the Nightcrawler. So I gave this an 8, but now I'm like, wait, what other he used a gun. I don't. This guy finally got it through his head.
He had that thing on his arm in the first scene. He was like looking at.
I could see.
He had like a little screen on his arm.
This is an alien.
Yeah.
He had a Pokedex for bad guys. Yeah, I thought the Nightcrawler would fall into this category, but I do like the suit. I gave it an 8, but that's being way too generous. But sure, fuck, whatever. He also has like jets. He's also got like the cool looking bat cape. Like he's assembling all these people. So I'm assuming like I don't know. Fuck, I don't.
I wouldn't say. I think his suit does look really cool. It reminds me of the one from the game almost. Like this big kind of like armored suit. I think it is one of the better Batman suits for sure. Gadgets not so much. We had the Bat Ninja Star.
The suit
thing.
Looked cool. You're right.
And he's got that screen. I went for a 7 with this. And finally, overall enjoyment of the film.
Yeah, middle of the road here, 5, because I definitely was super bored. But then I'm like, if I put on the 4-hour one, I should be less bored. But it's 4 hours, so I'll definitely have parts in it where I'm like, oh my God, this is 4 hours. But this has so much stupid stuff in it that doesn't like explain things. They kind of just jump to things, and then the villain just really brings it down. So yeah, a 5 for me. It's not bad enough that it's like laughable bad. It's just kind of like looking at your watch every so often bad.
Yeah, I gave it a 6. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I see all the flaws in the film, and I get why some people wouldn't like it, but from a first time watching it, I wasn't bored. It did hold my attention. It did feel rushed, and it does feel like there is a much better film in there. I also maybe think the fact that I have watched Wonder Woman and Aquaman before seeing this, even though I know Aquaman certainly was released after, maybe that helps because I have actually kind of had that build up in the order that I feel it should be released. But yeah, I went a 6. It's definitely not great, but wasn't as awful as I was expecting. So, doing some quick maths, so we divide our scores by 7, then divide by 2 to get our star rating. We actually both end up with 3.14.
Whoa.
Which means I don't need to do any more maths. So that's 3.14. So that would mean, is that a round up? Or I guess we round up from 3.14. So it would be a 3.25 rating. If we're doing quarter stars.
3.25, yeah.
So 3.25.
Yeah, yeah. That's you know, when I saw this movie was in theaters and all the ratings and reviews came out, they gave it around that, and that's probably why I waited to watch it on Netflix. Because everyone was like, yeah, it was all right.
That means I'll give the list. We never actually did our ratings for 66, so maybe we do have to go back and at least watch it and give our ratings one day when we upload that for free. But in last place, we have Batman and Robin with 2.5 stars. Followed by Batman v Superman, joint with Batman Forever with 3 stars.
But Batman Forever is way more iconic than Batman v Superman.
Just ahead of that, we have tied Justice League with Batman Returns on 3.25 stars.
Wow.
Then we have Batman, the 1989 film, with 3.5 stars. Then we have the Lego Batman movie with 3.75 stars.
Wow.
Followed by another animated film, Mask of Phantasm, with 4 stars. Then Batman Begins, 4.25. We have The Dark Knight Rises with 4.5. And still in top place, The Dark Knight with 4.75 stars.
Oof.
Will the Batman dethrone Heath Ledger and Christian Bale's Chris Nolan film, The Dark Knight?
Damn.
We will see.
Damn. So I like those numbers. I compare Justice League. Like, I didn't hate this movie. Where when I watch Batman Returns, Catwoman, Penguin, like, it's good. It's a little dated, but it's kind of in the same wheelhouse. Like, I didn't hate it, but it's still a Batman movie. It's still fun. Mm. But yeah, interesting. We're gonna have to see those reviews for the Batman. I mean, to give our numbers for those eventually, because it looks good. So I hope it is. But yeah, wow. There you have it. Our Bat ratings, all the Batman movies we've talked about and gone through them. Do you agree with any of these listings and ratings? Let us know. Again, join us on that Facebook group, Up Next Group, and follow us on Twitter at Up Next. And it is started the new month, which means it's a new month on our Patreon. And what a great time to sign up, because for $5 for North American tier, you get access to everything coming out this month, but everything else in the back vault there, access to all the retro NXT reviews, best match ever, all the movie reviews. And yeah, like we said, some stuff coming out because it's best March ever.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah. We've got a bunch of best match evers coming out this month.
Yeah.
As well as we'll be doing the hot build for Up Next Mania in April, but a lot to come out on this Patreon this month.
Yeah.
Best match ever Steiner Brothers, best match ever Shane McMahon, best match ever 205 Live, and then our usual Was Next shows as well.
There you go. So many things happening over on the Patreon. And yeah, follow us for all updates. We appreciate you guys listening and checking us out and all our Bat reviews, and we will be back with another Batman review. We will do it once it comes out and fully we can watch it and stuff. But I will be seeing it in theaters probably like this week, next week or so. But yeah, I'm super excited. But thank you guys for listening. I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I am at the Bray D.
And I am at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And where the fuck was the Green Lantern? They should have just got Ryan Reynolds to be in this.
I think so.
Yeah.
Ahoy!